Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Maplewood, it does my heart good to see you this morning. I wasn't sure if I was going to get here today. I've had a bad cold all week long. Don't worry, it's not COVID, but that's why I've been kind of sticking up here. I don't want to share any of my coldiness with you, but actually it's really improved. It's getting better. And the Lord gave me the word that he wanted me to share with you on Monday, and then Tuesday I got sick. And I thought, Lord, I know you've given me something. If this isn't the week, then okay. But I am well enough, and my voice is well enough, and hopefully it will stick it out with us. Today, I want to share a story. This story happened on a Wednesday, prayer meeting day, if you're a good Nazarene. And I've tried to be a good Nazarene most of my life. Every other weekday, at this time in my life, I would drop our two little boys at the babysitter's around 2:30. There were only two Quace boys then. The third one hadn't made his appearance yet in the world. Joe would pick them up a few hours later when he got off work. So Joe and I worked split shifts in that season. He worked the early morning shift. I worked the late afternoon shift. And it was a crazy season. I worked at the Conservatory of Piano in Worthington at that time, and it was about a half hour commute. Was not an ideal schedule. Joe and I just kind of would pass like ships in the night. We didn't see a lot of each other. But the boys were thriving and were happy, and we were happy that we had enough income to make the ends just meet. But today was Wednesday, prayer meeting day. I didn't go to the Conservatory of Piano on Wednesdays. I didn't do lessons on Wednesdays. Instead, I enjoyed having my boys with me all day long. I enjoyed just momming during the day, and I tried to catch up on housework. Yeah, that didn't really happen, but I was motivated to try, so I tried. I look forward to Wednesdays, even though it was still a scramble, but it was a different kind of scramble. In the evenings, I would get the boys ready for the trip to evening prayer meeting. I was, at that season, leading worship at the Marysville Church of the Nazarene, and we lived in Delaware, so we had a half-hour commute. I know, we drove everywhere. We drove to work, we drove to church. And why did we live in Delaware in the first place? I don't know, but we did. So half-hour commute, I would dress the boys, and around 5:30, I would pack them up into their car seats and into our huge station wagon. We had the most bomb station wagon. There it is. Actually, I think it was longer than this one. Like, I just feel like it was so long. It was a great wagon, and yes, it had the wood grain trim on the side. It was so cool. This particular Wednesday, it had been a pretty good Wednesday, and I was feeling pretty successful. I had juggled all the mom balls that day. I went through my mental checklist. Both boys clean, they look appropriately dressed. Check. Both strapped into their car seats. Check. Me? I'm dressed, I have brushed my hair, I look semi-presentable, check. I have my purse, I got my keys, I got my music. Anybody else do this before you leave the house? Check. I especially did it when I had the kids. We climb into the station wagon, I climb in, the boys are already in there, and we start to roll down the road for the half-hour drive to Marysville. And as we drove, I was thinking of the things I wanted to do when I got there. I had things I needed to prep for the worship service. Every now and then you look in the rearview mirror and see if the boys are okay. They're good. I'm good. We're going to arrive in plenty of time. I have got it together. All is well. Until it wasn't. We'd been on the road for about 25 minutes when it suddenly dawned on me. Where am I? I'm looking out the windshield. Where am I? I am not in Marysville. I should be in Marysville. We've been on the road for 25 minutes. I'm not in Marysville, where church and prayer meeting are. I look around and realize I'm in Worthington, where I work at the Conservatory of Piano. I have driven to work on a Wednesday when I don't work, when I meant to drive to church. I meant to drive to Marysville. Instead, I drove to Worthington. I can't believe I did this. I'm going to be very late to prayer meeting. None of the prep is going to get done. I can't even call ahead because cell phones don't exist yet. There's nothing I can do. Distractions, right? Distractions can take us places we don't mean to go. I did not mean to go there. I was so distracted by all the stuff in my brain, not bad stuff, just stuff, that I drove myself somewhere I did not mean to go. It's a human thing. We humans, we can be easily distracted. Throughout time, humans have had to deal with the challenge of distractions. Every human. Even in the Bible, distraction is a thing. And that's the passage we are going to look at today that I feel is a perfect example of real life distraction. So I want you to take your Bibles. You know, Pastor Vicki, I like you to have your Bible in your hand. So if you have your Bible today, grab it. If you don't have a Bible, there are some under the seats. If you want to use your digital Bible, any of those, I don't want you to be distracted as we look at this passage. So put it in your hand, the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the New Testament. We're going to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Forgive me for sucking on a cough drop while I'm sharing with you today. That's what's going to keep me, hopefully, from starting to cough. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let's stand for the reading of the word this morning. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Distracted. Did you see the word there in verse 40? Find verse 40. My verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." Martha gets a bad rap sometimes, but I can totally identify with poor Martha here. Unexpected company had just arrived, and there were 13 of them. 13! You must agree, that's a lot of company. Would you be prepared at the drop of a hat to feed 13 extra people? I know that would be a stretch for me. It would be a lot of scrambling to try to get beds ready and food prepared. I can absolutely tell you, if I was Martha at that moment, that my attention would absolutely be focused on getting things ready for guests. And these were special guests. This was Jesus. "We need 13 pillows. Do we even have 13 pillows? Can we borrow some from the neighbors? What do I have in the pantry that I can feed 13 plus people tonight? And where's everybody going to sit? Because our table really isn't big enough. Maybe we can eat in shifts." Can you identify? Martha had a real life practical concern going on in her mind. And those concerns weren't bad. She was focused on hospitality and making preparations for her special guests. And those are not bad things. Those are good things. But the good things in verse 40 are clearly called a distraction. Why? Because Martha's single focus on those good things led Martha to a not so good place that she didn't mean to go. I think Martha loved Jesus as much as her sister Mary. But at this particular moment, a distraction has knocked poor Martha off course. I want you to look again at verse 40. Let's read it again. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Do you see where the distraction has led Martha? I think it's led her to a poor attitude, maybe to some complaining, to picking a fight with her sister, definitely. Those were fighting words. And to a gentle but firm rebuke from Jesus, the most special of all her guests. Verse 41, read that one again. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it would not be taken away from her." Ouch. That was a rebuke, wasn't it? A clear rebuke, a gentle rebuke. Martha was not a bad person, just a distracted one. Can you identify? I surely can. If we're all honest, I believe we would all say we have found ourselves distracted and upset, just like Martha, about many things, just like Martha. We can all be distracted humans sometimes. Our focus gets lasered in on something in this life, be it work or kids or preparations or projects or money or our love life or whatever, none of which of those things are necessarily bad things. But thoughts of those things can become overly big in our brains and fill up places it shouldn't. And then we're right where Martha is, distracted. And if we're not careful, distractions can take us places we never meant to go. Just like me, driving somewhere I never meant to go. Everyone can get distracted. You, me, everybody. We all must, like Martha, though, hear the rebuke of Jesus and learn to put our distractions in their proper place. So let's unpack the advice that Jesus gives to Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha." Says her name twice. Sounds a little bit like the Brady Bunch. "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia," except for it's Martha. And there's only two. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. One thing is needed. One thing." What is the one thing that Jesus speaks of? This passage clearly tells us that on this particular day, Mary chose the one thing, but Martha did not. And in the choosing, Mary was at one destination, and Martha was completely somewhere else. Sure, they were physically in the same place, but somewhere totally different in their hearts and minds. What is the one thing? Well, let me tell you, there's a whole lot of people in this world who want to give you and me all kinds of advice about what your one thing should be. Messages everywhere, clamoring for your attention, loud, demanding expectations about what means success and happiness and fulfillment in this life. You know what I'm talking about. As human beings, we are prone to distractions, and we're prone to listening to all kinds of crazy voices, including our own. Sometimes we listen to the crazy voices, and we make the one thing something that has no business being the one thing. Martha didn't have her focus on the one thing. Mary did. Martha's distracted by stuff. Where's Mary? She's at the feet of Jesus. What is the one thing? The one thing, in my opinion, is nothing less than making Jesus king of every moment of every day. Amen. Making Jesus king of every moment of every day. It's not a one-time decision. It's a decision we have to make on the regular. For Mary, Jesus was king of this moment in this story in Luke 10. And because of that, she did not struggle to do exactly what that particular moment called for, which was to be still and listen to her Lord. For Martha, the preparations for her guests had become king of the moment. And the result was Martha ended up someplace she never meant to go. Cranky, unhappy, and picking a fight with her sister. Our first defense against distractions is to every day ask ourselves, is Jesus my king right now? Is he on the throne of my heart and life right now? Is he calling the shots right now? Is his word the guide for my steps right now? Is Jesus king right now, or is something else? Our second defense against distractions is this. Drew's going to put it up there. Move it or lose it. Move it or lose it. Let me tell you a little bit more about what I mean there. I'm sure Mary, just like Martha, sensed the need for all the preparations that needed to be made for the 13 guests. I'm sure she wasn't completely ignoring that there were tasks that needed to be done. But because Jesus was king of this moment in Mary's life, she knew that now was not the time for those tasks. She likely chose to move some of those tasks till later, and maybe eliminate some of the tasks that weren't absolutely necessary. Simply said, when Jesus is king, we are better able to prioritize wisely. We can better choose certain things over others and eliminate some things altogether. Yes, there's still work and children and dishes and laundry and lawns to mow and bills to pay, but Jesus is king over all of it. Amen? When Jesus is king, it's easier to shift our priorities around in a wise way. I would say that's choosing to move it. We shift things around. Sometimes Jesus makes it clear that we're to eliminate some things altogether. I would say that's losing it. Sometimes we need to move things. Sometimes we need to lose things. You can be certain, church, that God will definitely press you to eliminate all things that are sin for you. Did you hear me? God will press you to eliminate all things that are sin for you. Amen. To lose those things. But surprisingly, some things God will ask you to eliminate are not necessarily bad things. Just things he wants you to clear out so you'll have room for better things. Every time we willingly adjust our priorities in the way God is directing us to, we're basically reaffirming in our life that Jesus really is king. And every time we resist God's voice in our priorities, we become a slave to our distractions. And we risk ending up in places we never meant to go. So be prepared, church. If you want to have the one thing, you've got to be willing to move some things and lose some things. Amen. But it's not bad. It's good. Move it or lose it is good. This is the only way to truly make Jesus our king and avoid the dangers of distractions. And finally, the last tip I have for you in regards to distractions. I love how in Luke 10, Mary is right at the feet of Jesus. She's looking right at him. Her eyes are locked on him. Her ears are listening to every word he says. Her thoughts are engaged with his message. It's a lot easier to keep distractions in their place when we have our eyes, our ears, and our thoughts fixed on Jesus. Fixed on Jesus. That is the fix. To fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our ears, to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Unlike Mary in this story, we can't sit at the literal feet of Jesus, but we can fix our eyes and ears and thoughts on what he is saying to us. And we know this is the start of what he is saying to us, isn't it? If we want to know what he's saying to us, then we've got to get into his word. We need to read it and study it on our own, and we need to read it and study it in community, just like we're doing right here and right now. That is exactly what Jesus' disciples did. Although they had the words of Jesus coming right out of his mouth, but they also studied it in community and talked about it and discussed it in community. I really want you to hear my pastor's heart here. This is not coming from a place of judgment. It's coming from a place of love and from a lot of years of walking beside other brothers and sisters in the faith. Anything that gets in between you and your personal study of the word, or you and your community, corporate, church time, study of the word and community, anything that gets in between you and those things is a distraction. Amen. Did you hear me? It'll take you places you don't mean to go. You need to guard against any good or bad thing that regularly takes you away from your personal time in the Word or your time worshiping in the community of faith. Regularly missing out on either of these things is a dangerous distraction that will lead you to places you do not mean to go. In closing, I want to share some verses from Hebrews. We've been studying Hebrews on Wednesday nights. A wonderful book. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe it would be safe to say that every one of us in this room has been swayed by some kind of distraction, even in this last week. I know I have. The reason why I'm preaching this sermon is because this is what God's been talking to me about. He's saying, yeah, you got this stuff, and it's not necessarily bad stuff, it's just stuff. There's a lot going on in your life. But don't lose your one thing. Don't lose your one thing. It's easy to get distracted and end up somewhere we never meant to go. I want you to take a moment this morning and listen to the still, small voice of the Spirit, not my voice, but the voice of the Word, the voice of the Holy Spirit. What are the distractions in your life right now? Are they leading you to places that you don't really mean to go? Have you become cranky or difficult? I know sometimes I do, and the Lord checks me. It's easy to become cranky and difficult in our attitudes because I'm resisting needed changes in my priorities. They need to make way for His priorities. I hear the Martha rebuke. Victoria, you're so worried and concerned about many things, but only one thing is needed. Is there any place that you're losing sight of the one thing? Is Jesus King of every moment? Let's bow our heads. Lord, I'm so thankful that you speak. You speak to us the way you spoke to Martha, and you know our name, and you call us by our name, not by our sin. You call us by our name, and you lead us to go deeper with you, to go deeper with you than we ever have before. And to do that, Lord, I know sometimes that means moving or losing some of these things that distract us and pull us off course. Lord, I know they're not all bad. Some of them are. Lord, sometimes you tell me to boot out things that are bad for me. But Lord, sometimes you tell me to boot things out because you know that you're making room for something better. Lord, I pray that in this moment right now, you will speak to your people. Lord, I know that you are readying Maplewood for a new work. And Lord, to do that, you do work inside us. Lord, we say yes to your work. Lord, whatever you're calling us to set aside, to move it, we set it aside. And Lord, whatever you're calling us to eliminate, we say yes. Lord, we want to be sensitive to your voice in the moment when we realize there are adjustments that need to be made. And Lord, I pray that we make those adjustments with grace and kindness, not with an attitude that's so easy to fall into like Martha did. Lord, she was frustrated and concerned and worried and even probably fearful that things weren't going to get done the way that she wanted them to get done. But Lord, so much of that, I know that you take that off of us. Instead, you give us a spirit of love and joy and peace, and patience and kindness. Those come from your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we want to be filled with you instead of that. Lord, I pray all around this room that we listen to your voice, that we have ears to hear, that we fix our eyes on you and fix our ears on you and fix our thoughts on you, that we are willing to move it or lose it as you show us and teach us. Lord, we thank you that we've been able to worship together in community today. Lord, may we find those times to listen to you and you speaking to us in the word throughout the week so that we can just continue to grow. Lord, we love you so much, and it's in your name we pray all these things, and all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.